saying, "Oh, my righteousness, this is filthy rags. And Lord, I am desperate and hopeless. Please save me." And immediately that happens. What does God do? He imputes his own righteousness to the ungodly. God justifies the ungodly. And the devil is mad about that. The devil wants the message that God will only pronounce godly a people who live godly. And that's Roman Catholicism. But for the Protestant Reformation, they recovered the message that God pronounces righteous ungodly people because of repentance and faith in Christ. And then those who are saved, and then those who realize the imputed righteousness of Christ, say, "Lord, I love you, I want to live for you forever and ever. I want to obey you, I want to obey your word." And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:3, "The righteous standard of the law is fulfilled in us who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So all the righteous standard of God is looked after by those who are born again and have submitted to the righteousness of God imputed. We're not saved by God's righteousness plus mine. Don't insult the Lord by trying to add yours, even though God might be the source of it. As Jesus said, "Even though you have done everything, you are an unprofitable servant." He's just getting the right perspective. So the only reason that we are standing before God is because of his sheer mercy. John Bunyan said one of the greatest statements that's ever been said. John Bunyan of Pilgrim's Progress. "This is the greatest mystery on earth. That me, a sinner on earth, is completely accepted by God by a righteousness that lives up in heaven." Can you understand that? If you can't understand it, you better think it over and pray it through. He said, I'm paraphrasing, "This is the greatest mystery ever. That me, a sinner on earth, is put right with God by a righteousness that lives up in heaven. And that's Jesus Christ. I am accepted by God, you are accepted by God, and only by righteousness that is outside of me. And that righteousness is the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ that is imputed." Romans chapter 4. That's how we gain acceptance with God. Don't rely on your righteous deeds in your life of sanctification. Roman Catholicism believes that you are saved by justification and sanctification. Did you know that in formal Roman Catholic theology, it is a mortal sin to say, "I am saved." The reason? You do not know what you are going to do tomorrow. You do not know whether you are going to follow the Lord or turn away from Him. You do not know what the future will hold. This is why you have to wait until the last judgment to find out if you will be saved. I don't believe that. And I believe that here in Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to see the Lord saying, "My righteous servant will pronounce righteous those who believe in him, for he has borne their sins." Well, now, we're going to come to that. Let's have the reading, please. Now, 52:13. This is from the Dead Sea Scroll. See, my servant will prosper and he will be exalted and lifted up and will be very high. Verse 14. Just as many were astonished at you, so was he marred in appearance more than any human, and his form beyond that of the sons of humans. Verse 15. So will he startle or sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths at him, for what has not been told them they will see, and what they have not heard they will understand. 53:1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form, and he had no majesty, that we should look at him. And he had no attractiveness, that we should desire him. Verse 3. He was despised and rejected by others, and a man of sorrows, and familiar with suffering, and like one from whom people hide their faces, and we despised him, and we did not value him. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our sufferings and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken and struck down by God and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that made us whole was upon him, and by his bruises we are healed. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each of us unto his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Verse 8. From detention and judgment he was taken away, and who can even think about his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was stricken for the transgression of my people. Verse 9. Then they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich people his tomb, although he had done no violence, nor was deceit in his mouth. Verse 10. Yet the Lord was willing to crush him, and he made him suffer, although he made his soul an offering for sin. And he will see his offspring, and will prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will triumph in his hand. Verse 11. Out of the suffering of his soul he will see light. That's quite a change there. And find satisfaction. And through his knowledge, his servant, the righteous one, will make many righteous, and he will bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore will I lot him and a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life to death and was numbered with the transgressions. Yet he bore the sins of many and made intercession for their transgressions. A very, very faithful testimony of the enduring Word of God. I read for you the translation of the document 200 BC, the Qumran community. Now let's have a look, please, at page 6 in our notes, those of you who would like to follow. I have just read from that. I should have mentioned that that's what I've just read from. The great Isaiah scroll. You see how it has been used? Can you see all the how it's been handled there? All the dirt as they've handled that scroll over the years in the Qumran community. This is what we'll be looking at. For a start, the servant's identity and the servant's ministry, and off we go. Page 6 in our notes, please. We have some introductory comments there that we'll just make. If you'd like to follow that, we're going pretty well for time.